Welcome to Mosaic, a podcast about theology and theologizing in Singapore, Asia, and beyond. Brought to you by Singapore Bible College.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very first podcast episode. So the idea to start a podcast has been something that we've been working on for a while now. So we are all a little bit excited and nervous as well to finally be getting things going. Now, for me personally, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but it's my first time behind the mic. And I think for some of us, it's our first times as well. So please bear with us if and when we make mistakes, as we'll be learning when we go along in the making of this podcast. But we are thankful for any of you who might be listening that you've chosen to spend your precious time listening to us talk. So for our first episode, we decided to do an introduction episode of sorts, both of ourselves, who are the hosts of this podcast, to get to let you know a little bit more about us, as well as the podcast itself, what the podcast exactly is about, and what we are trying to do with it, basically the vision for this podcast. So why don't we start first with some introductions of our hosts? So I'll start. I'll start first with Jean. Jean, can you please tell us a little bit about who you are?
Hi, thanks, Justin. My name is Jean Luo. I'm actually the newest member to SBC faculty. I just joined in July of this year. Welcome. So I've been tasked to teach Old Testament studies too, that is the Psalms and the wisdom literature, as well as Greek one. Now it's a bit strange because both New Testament and Old Testament. But that's because of the discipline I'm in. I did hermeneutics for my doctoral studies.
So what exactly were your or are your doctoral studies in?
To expand on what I mean by hermeneutics, I read the traditional philosophical hermeneutics from the 19th century. Then I traced the shifts in biblical interpretations, trends of it in modern to contemporary time, narrowing in on the 20th and the 21st century. And then I am in my writing discussing the account of theological hermeneutics as it's being articulated anew, especially through the lens of wisdom or the category of wisdom. So the title of my thesis is Wise Readers and Reading Wisely, Themes, Practices and Exegesis in Theological Interpretation of Scripture.
Very cool. So one thing that listeners might not be aware of is that Jean and I are actually, we overlapped a bit at Durham. And so, yeah, both of us are products of this great Northeastern English University. Now that you're back in your home country of Singapore, is there anything that you miss particularly about being in Durham?
Oh, yeah, I think I miss the slowness of pace. I enjoyed seasons very, very much. It snowed the first year I got there. So people tried sledding down like freshly fallen snow on like trays and different things. I loved it. I love the spring. I love autumn. Really, really blessed to have a chance to experience the four seasons because I've always been living in the equator.
Yeah, it's pretty hot here.
Yeah, absolutely. I miss the cold weather. I miss my friends there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I too miss the cold and the walks down by the river and the cathedral just right around the corner. I literally lived down the street from the cathedral, so I saw it basically every single day. And that's one thing that I definitely miss. So yeah, I'll turn it over to you, Jean. You can interview our next person.
Yeah, absolutely. The next person we're all waiting for because I'm very excited in her as well. Can I get her to just introduce her name and then tell us a little bit more about what she wants to let us know about, just a first impression?
Well, thank you very much, Jean. My name is Jackie Kwong, and I hope I live up to your expectation or your excitement. I don't know what gave you the impression that you should be really excited, but I'll try to live up to that. So I am affiliated with SBC in a number of ways. Sometimes I'm quite confused about my identity. So I first came to SBC in 2010 as a faculty wife. My husband teaches Old Testament in the School of Theology English. His name is Jerry Huang. Some of you guys might know him. So I was working more with the families of the students in the beginning. And then I think it was 2016, probably. Yeah. Somehow, like there was a really confusing stage in my life. And I felt like God was telling me to retool myself. And the kids, I have three kids, by the way, and they were old enough. So then I thought, okay, maybe I could like do something more with my life. And so I started with the MAIS program here at Singapore Bible College. So MAIS stands for Master of Arts in Intercultural Studies, for those of you who don't know. And that was a really exciting period for me. Dr. Sam Law at that time had just started. And so I took some classes with him. That was really exciting. And then I thought I was just going to do a master's degree. So I finished my MAIS. And before I finished MAIS, you know, Dr. Sam, he's always had this little voice next to me saying, maybe you should think about further studies. And I thought he was just saying that to everyone. So Dr. Sam, if you're listening, I don't know if you say that to everyone.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I don't know what I was doing at that time, to be honest. I think the rest of you have a better idea what you want to do with your doctoral studies. I just kind of like stumble into it. But by God's grace, I am very happy to be at the school that I'm at. I'm at the University of Edinburgh, another British school. So there's Durham people now, and then I'm Scotland, not England. They would remind me that Scotland and England are two different places, even though they are all part of the Great Britain. I'm doing my coursework in world Christianity.
Oh, I'm excited about your course and why you want to do it. Would you like to tell us a bit more about what are some of the things you're doing and what are some things that you're passionate about?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Jing. You know, world Christianity is one of those courses that I feel like I'm always explaining to people. You know, when you do theology or when you do biblical studies, people are like, yeah, I get that. I know what that is about. And then world Christianity is like, okay, what is that? And I think maybe my own journey kind of may explain that a little bit. So when we came to Singapore, we were actually with OMF International, so as missionaries. And mission really is something that I'm very passionate about. And intercultural studies is kind of like the newest way that we teach missions. I think mission studies, people have realized that that's kind of a more outdated term. So a lot of places are offering courses in intercultural studies, and that's what we have here at Singapore Bible College. But in some other schools, they've taken an approach where they recognize that really the missionaries in past generations have done a lot, and their work have had a lasting impact in kind of a globalized phase to Christianity. So that Christianity is not just a Western religion or a Middle Eastern religion. I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes they would tell me, especially their new first generation Christians who are from a Chinese background. And they would say, yeah, you know, when I became a Christian, my families are really disappointed in me for turning over to a Western religion. But then the thing is, it's not a Western religion. In fact, if it ever were, it's not now. The center of gravity, some people have said it, but it's actually more polycentric than the center of gravity. But what Christianity these days is actually not in the West. There are more Christians in Africa, in Asia, than we have in the Western countries combined. So I think because of that, combining with my passion for mission and realizing that, you know, we come to Singapore and we think we're missionaries, but really, in a sense, we learn a lot from the believers here. I learn a lot from the Christians I interact with from different parts of the world, especially here at SBC. So to study Christianity from a global perspective is something that's really exciting to me. And I think in this case, in a way, it showcased sort of the global nature of God's kingdom these days.
It's wonderful. And I think that is also part of the passion that drives or draws us all together. So we have to hear about two more of our presenters. So can I pass the mic to you, Jackie?
Sure. Thank you, Jean. And next up, we have someone who is a good friend. Even before we started this podcast thing, I think I know Benita for 10 years now. So I'm very happy, very excited to introduce Benita Lim. Benita, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you are doing these days.
Thanks, Jackie. Wow, I didn't realize it's been 10 years. Gosh. All right. So I am Benita. I am a second generation Singaporean Chinese. So right now I am doing my PhD in Fuller Theological Seminary, which is in LA, United States. So I'm the US rep in this podcast. So I'm into my third year of PhD studies. And so in the American system, we do coursework first and then pass the exams and then start dissertation writing. So I would say where I am along this point is I'm at the end of my coursework, getting ready for my exams.
Thank you. And Benita, I know you have many, many passions. You're actually a woman of many talents. Can you tell us a little bit about what you are interested in studying in your doctoral studies?
So I'm doing theology and culture. That's my major. And so, you know, theology and culture just sounds like basically anything, right? So to be more specific then, the aspect of theology and culture I'm studying is liturgical theology and its engagement by Christians. And so like to narrow it down further, I'm looking at the Singaporean context. So you know, reflecting on how Christianity has been like in Singapore. And so I think, you know, the other question then is also like, what's the liturgical theology, right? Because I don't think, you know, this is something that we mention often, even in seminaries here. It's usually New Testament, Old Testament, history, and maybe music is on the other side. And so liturgy actually brings everything together, if I could say that. This discipline has probably been in its development for maybe only the past 50 years. So technically, there hasn't really been an agreement on what it is. So instead of defining it, right, I'll describe it. So very briefly, liturgical theology is like this ongoing conversation that seeks to understand faith as it is being expressed within and among Christians while carrying out liturgy, a more structured approach towards, you know, the whole act of worship. Yeah. So whether it's traditional or contemporary, I would say that there is a liturgy taking place. It's just how we approach it, yeah, and examine it.
Thank you, Benita. Thank you for that explanation of what liturgy is. I feel like I learned something just by hearing you describe it. And you are right. This is something that we really can have a lot more knowledge and a lot more discussion about. So onto something a little bit lighter. Can you tell us something fun about you? I know you do many things for fun. So can you just tell us one thing that you do for fun? Are you allowed to have fun as a doctoral student? Might be the follow-up question, right?
I think for people who know me, the question is, Benita, do you try not to have too much fun?
I love that.
I think when you're a doctoral student, any fun is guilty fun. So, yeah.
Right. And yeah, I mean, that's a great question because I think this is something that I actually wrestled with, right, going into PhD studies, because people tell me, please don't have too much fun because they know my propensity. But I would say at this point, what I like to do most for fun, I have a few things, but I recently picked up rock climbing. So more of the sport climbing aspect where I climb in a gym and doing, you know, those top rope climbs or bouldering. Yeah, so I started it when I returned to Singapore to continue my studies. And I think it's been really helpful for me to, you know, kind of be exploring a new way of using my body and to strengthen muscles that I never knew were there. Yeah, and it's fun to also feel a bit of accomplishment, especially in like whole big picture of like PhD studies where you can't see the end. Just finishing one climb, right, like brings so much satisfaction. So that's been fun.
That's really interesting. I can see you're a person who likes challenges. So I'm going to pass to you the next challenge, which is to interview our last interview for hosts.
All right. Challenge is accepted. We have come full circle, I guess. So now we'll get to know the brains behind this podcast. Do I call you Dr. Justin Lee or just Justin?
Yeah, I don't really care. So for me, my name's Justin. I'm from Southern California, America. I'm a Korean American. And so I don't really like overly formal things. I like just, things to be a bit chill. Actually, I don't think everyone announced or talked about where they're from. We have two Singaporeans and one, I guess, Taiwanese American, in addition to me, a Korean American. Does anyone want to have anything to say specifically about where they're from, or maybe any comments on that? Sorry.
Maybe we should leave this as a mystery to let our audience guess and see if they can figure out what we are by our accents.
Yeah, by our accents.
I've mentioned mine already, so too late.
Yeah. So I guess for me, I am the most recent transplant to Singapore. I've been here for about just over 2 years, and I'm teaching at SBC as assistant professor of historical and systematic theology or something like that. I don't really remember exactly the title. But at SBC, I'm teaching mostly systematic theology, although I'm teaching a couple of other different courses. In terms of my own research background, I did a PhD in historical theology and patristics at the University of Durham, where I looked at the pneumatology of third century theologian Origen of Alexandria. If you don't know who he is, it's okay, but I think it's important. So that's why I like this kind of stuff. So I'm interested in patristics, which is the study of the church fathers, the development of doctrine, especially pneumatology, and as well, biblical interpretation in the early church. That is another area of interest of mine. And since coming to SBC, I've expanded my area of interest to include things like world Christianity and more global theological voices. And I've been trying to include this type of stuff into my teaching, and as well to help it to affect my own, I guess, theologizing and teaching of theology. So that's something that I'm trying to move into a slightly new area for myself.
Nice. Thanks for making this really easy. Well, here's a question for you, something not so related and also related to, mm-hmm. to your studies. Speaking of books, so I know you have quite the collection of hard copy books. So one day, if your house is on fire and you can only take one book with you, which book would that be and why?
Oh, that's a tough question. Well, in this day and age, a lot of stuff is easy to find in Kindle and online, right? So if I had to pick one book, it would probably be something that I wouldn't be able to get a copy of at another point. And I don't know if there's anything I have that's exactly that rare, that valuable. Like my supervisor, when I used to work with him, his name is Lewis Ayers, University of Durham. He had a number of books that were previously owned by like very famous, well-known theologians. Like he was showing me stuff that was owned by Daniel Liu and other people like that. And I was like, oh, this is very valuable stuff, but I don't have anything that valuable or that expensive yet. So I can't say that there's one book that I would take because everything can be replaced. But there is a book that I just ordered recently that hasn't come in yet that I don't know if anyone else will be interested. But it's a collection put together by Ronald Heine, who's a patristic scholar. It's called, what's it called? The Montanist Oracles. Basically, it's a primary source collection of writings from Montanist sources, which are a second and third century charismatic type movement in the early church. So that's coming soon. I've been looking for that for a while because I found it cheap online. But besides that, there's not as much that I think I would want to take. Like that's as valuable, I think. Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for sharing, Justin. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that for the four of us, and I'm supposed to helm, that is to lead in the next section. And that section is to ask, why are we doing this? What are we doing exactly in this podcast? So anyone can answer. So I hope to do it like sort of a pop quiz kind of thing. But if there's anyone of you would like to expand on it, please go ahead. If you were to give an analogy for what this podcast is like in terms of a food, a dish, what would you aspire this dish to be like?
Din Tai Fung, hands down, Din Tai Fung.
Please expand.
So Din Tai Fung is like Michelin star quality, right? And so I hope that's kind of what we want to aspire towards, like, you know, good quality, excellence kind of stuff. But then Din Tai Fung has that cultural element that is really unique about it. 21 folds on your xiaolong bao. So I don't know. That's just, I don't know why I say that. Maybe I'm hungry. Okay,
ooh, move on. Good reaction is fantastic. Din Tai Fung is this restaurant in Singapore. It's spread out everywhere. It serves excellent dim sum and just done very well. It's very good choice. That sounds delicious. How about Justin or Benita?
Yeah, so I actually have something that comes to mind. And what comes to mind for me, being a Korean or a Korean-American, is a traditional Korean jjigae or stew, or say a jeonggol, which is like hot pot. And the reason why this comes to mind for me is because I think one thing that we are wanting to do with this podcast is to have a lot of different voices represented, to have a lot of different people contributing their thoughts, their to share what's going on in their little theological spheres or circles. And so bringing together a number of different voices into one place, and the flavors that come out of it become greater, the sum of the parts is greater than the parts themselves, right? I think that's my vision, or what I think that this podcast.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I'm of two minds of whether I should combine my food or keep them separate. But that's the autistic side of me.
Yeah, Benita. Koreans have mixing food. That's one thing. That's true.
Actually, I was thinking of the compliment to Justin's hot pot, which is the grill outside. Yeah, because I think this was something that struck me the other day, that like so many of our foods here in Asia have some form of like a grilled version, or like a grill that where people just sit around it at the same table and, you know, just grill it and chit-chat. You know, like Chinese have it, Thais have it, Koreans have it. I mean, we all have some form of a barbecue thing.
Is that a metaphor?
At the table itself. Yeah.
Is it a metaphor for what will happen to our interviewees?
They'll be burned. They'll
pay attention. Let's not scare them before they come on.
Oh, no, they're supposed to join us to cook. We're not going to scare them.
Sorry, that's just the naughty side of me. And as for me, I love the rojak. It is healthy, it is mixed flavored, it is a dish that is shared among the Maltai races in Singapore. It's made of fruits as well as some savory things. It's got bits of everything, which I think is very much what we've been talking about, this sense of wanting excellence and wanting different voices and wanting to share our experiences. And I love the fact that we come from different disciplines. What do you think this podcast reaches out to? Who do you think this podcast reaches out to?
Well, if I can chime in, I think that there's always a desire for more good and theological content out there. And I think one thing that we want to do with this podcast is for it to be a good theological, you know, very solidly Christian, evangelical, theological place that people can come to learn, to ask questions, to have dialogues even. And, you know, I think that looking around at the availability of podcasts out there, there are actually too many podcasts, I would say, probably quite a few. But in terms of one that features Asian voices, people from this part of the world talking about what theology looks like in their context, I think that there's a great need for this type of thing. So my hope is that people who are, I don't know, seminarians, pastors, even theologians, or even just the regular layperson who's interested in theological conversations can find in our future conversations something that can help them and challenge them, and maybe even display to them the ways that God is working around the world in the various interesting and mysterious ways that He is. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Perhaps we can hear another voice. Why are we doing it in the form of a podcast? After all, don't we have journals? Don't we have bulletins? Don't we have newsletters?
I think for myself, I think listening to a podcast is still something relatively new to me. I mean, I do listen to podcasts for a few years now, although not regularly. But I think what I appreciate about podcasts is that it takes a huge topic, right, and gives you maybe like a good 20, 30 minute overview of it in a engaging way. And you can listen to it just about any time, like when you're on commute, you know, you don't want to be staring at a screen and you don't need want to have to focus on something before you. It's like a radio on demand on the go, according to what you want, whenever you want, however you want. You can make it faster, you can make it slower. Yeah, it's actually pretty flexible. Yeah, so.
It's wonderful for us to try out this new medium as well. So hopefully this will give you a flavor as to what kind of thing we're doing, what kind of dish we're trying to do, the space that we've created for ourselves, the medium to fit in with the accessibility and the lifestyles that we're in. That will give Christians where we are located and wherever Christians are, this chance to grow deeper in God's word and the practice of worship of him in different parts of the world. So perhaps, Benita, I could pass on the next section to you.
So, I think we have mentioned quite a bit about, you know, doing, talking about Christianity in this part of the world. And so I guess the big question, right, is that why should we even be talking about Christianity in this part of the world? What does it mean to be thinking about it, talking about it, doing theology, right, about it? Would anyone like to share, you know, why? I know Jackie has mentioned a little bit about this, but if anyone would like to add on, or Jackie, you would like to elaborate a little more, please feel free.
You know, this is really close to my research. I mean, my research, like you, Benita, is also situated here in Singapore, looking at Chinese students who are studying in Singapore's university and kind of how their interaction with Christian faith is like. So why is there a need to look at context? Why is there a need to look at things in Asia? I mean, I think a lot of times when we think about Christian faith, we think, well, you know, isn't the Bible enough? Maybe throw in John Calvin in the mix and then we got it all fixed, right? And I think a lot of times we forget that whether it's John Calvin or even the biblical writers of our scripture, they wrote in response to some kind of context. And I think this is what Jean will probably be able to articulate even better than I could. But the fact that the context does give us a lens through which we read anything or think about anything. Even when we talked about food earlier, Jean took us on this really fun adventure of talking about food. And if we didn't have the context, a lot of the food that we're talking about would really sound odd or meaningless. And so theology in that sense, I think, has that contextual element, even the Bible itself. I think to even some of the discussions I have with my kids, you know, reading their Bible before they go to bed. And sometimes they ask me, like, Mommy, what does this mean? And I'm like, well, I guess I have to explain a little bit about ancient Near East context or even Roman Empire, Greek, Greco-Roman context a little bit to them, to even just make the Bible make sense to children. And so how much more than if we're looking at things that we are dealing with from day in and day out, even deeper things. And so I really think that the context is really important, and we need to realize that in every situation we're in, we have questions that we're asking that are different, maybe from a different context. And so that's why this is really interesting to me. Maybe Jean can add a little bit more to what I have said already.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the space to do theology in Asia or just to theologize in your situatedness just means having a space to articulate and to verbalize the concerns and issues that is so close to us. And this means that we're not talking about theology in abstract way necessarily, though that has its value. But more importantly, we're responding to contemporary issues we're responding to, an environment, and within that environment, the place that we're given, we're being put in to be that salt and light, to find expressions for our witness, or to find expressions for our faith. And that basically, for me, just captures why we have to do theologizing in a particular place. And when it is responsive both to the traditions of scripture and the deposit of faith that has been passed down to us, to be faithful to that. And yet at the same time to be faithful to minister to the believers around us who need a glimpse of Jesus in what we do and what we proclaim and how we live our lives.
Well, I think for me, I was debating whether or not to share about this, and I guess I'm going to anyways, because why not, right? So I've been working on an article for a little while now, and it's been quite a difficult article to write because I'm trying to write about theological methodology in Asia. And if you guys know anything about systematic theology, the how you do something, the methodology is always the hardest part, because you have to try to explain why you're doing what you're doing, right? And so as part of my application of the kinds of things I'm arguing for, so I can't say that it's, you know, this article is ever going to be good enough to be published. Hopefully one day, maybe we'll see how it goes. It's taken a while, and maybe I'm getting to a point where the finishing looks possible. One application of what I'm trying to write is to say that theology in general, whether in Asian world context, whatever, tends to be very top down, but needs to be a lot more bottom up. That is, it's typically theologians telling everyone else what they ought to believe, but that there's a strong sense of belief that already exists on the ground that needs to be understood better. And so for me, the reason why the idea of doing a podcast like this came up, as someone has mentioned, I'm sort of the one behind starting this thing, is because if I'm going to really do what I'm saying and I'm trying to convince other people to believe in, then we need a place to feature voices, to have people tell their stories about who God is and how God is working in this world. And for me, being someone who does listen to a lot of podcasts, it just made a lot of sense to use this platform to try to bring as many people on board to gain, to paint a really nice, beautiful picture, mosaic of what theology in this part of the world could look like. Now, one of the things that is quite controversial amongst us is when we were talking about titles, the topic of whether we should call this Asian theology came up, and we had a bit of a debate about this. And I think Jackie in particular was sort of against the idea of Asian theology, which I completely understand. But I mean, do you have any reason?
Well, I didn't say I'm against Asian theology. That sounds a little bit off. But
sorry, in the title.
In the title, yeah. Can I maybe just for 2 seconds, I'll just explain what I meant by that. Otherwise, I might be down the... down the bad side of my supervisor at Edinburgh. But what I meant to say was Asia was so big that it's really hard for us to define Asia. Is it all the way to the Middle East and to on the other side? Like, do we include Oceania or not? You know, and so Asia is a really broad and diverse places, hard for us to define. And the fact that we are coming from Singapore, I just felt like maybe we should just be honest and say we're starting from Singapore and then starting from our own background. I have some Taiwanese in me and some American in me, and I guess I'm here in Singapore too. So these are the contexts that define my experiences. And for some of you guys, you have, you have UK, you have Germany, you have Korea, you have the US as well. And so these things define our experiences.
Those all sound like me. Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you mean. Given that for me in particular, being an Asian American and only now having really lived in Asia at this point in my life, it is kind of a bit presumptuous of me to say that I could speak personally for Asians generally and how Asians should do theology. And so I completely understand your reservation in maybe trying to essentialize Asianness into one thing and saying that Asianness looks like one thing, given that the types of voices that might be coming out here and that are represented might not be, all of Asia, maybe just a certain part of Asia or a certain location or something like that. So
Right. We'll continue this debate at a episode down the line.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, even in Singapore, right, we also cannot assume that how we do things in Singapore can be just transplanted to another location immediately. And I think that's where, looking at voices coming from the ground, right, rather than only talking about theology in abstract. I think that's the common trend that all of us kind of mentioned is going to be so important. And this is what, like, this podcast is working towards. And I think, Justin, what you were talking about for your paper, it's also something that liturgical theology also really resonates with. Because I think how this whole topic discipline is arising from is because people are realizing the limitations of the scholastic approach to theology. And it tends to be a very abstract and ableist, in a way, right, intellectual. And so scholars are actually looking at how to reclaim the act of faith as reflecting one's belief. And so looking at how people actually practice faith in liturgy, right? And then to explain how they believe in what they're doing. Yeah, so it's, of course, not saying that there's no scripture, right? But it's combining scripture, ritual, action, traditional development. And yeah, and they're just trying to figure out which comes first, or how are they in constant dynamic with each other and within itself? Yeah, so I think even for Asia, there's a lot of potential in this discipline to look at what's happening on the ground, and then discussing again theology being done in Asia look like, yeah, when it comes to engaging Christianity.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep the perspective in tension as well. I think that we are agreed in very many things, and we share very, very many common grounds. But it wouldn't be a fun podcast if we didn't have certain disagreements or certain tensions that we're going to keep in hold. Yes, we all love and we believe that theology needs to be done from ground up, and that it needs to be worked out in practice. But why are we talking about it? So we're positing that we talk about it because we also at the same time need to reflect, and we at the same time need to think, and we at the same time need to examine what we're doing, not just the practice, but also the how are we going to go about it. So that's just to add the counter voice to this perspective.
So with that, I'm going to move on to the next segment. We've talked about who we are, and we talked about what we hope to achieve, and some of the thoughts that went into putting together this podcast. So just to give some preview to what we're going to do in the upcoming episodes, maybe some of you guys can share with our audiences what are some of the things we're going to talk about. Justin, would you like to share what are some of the things that you have in mind?
Sure. Well, I think that the possibilities are endless, right? I think for me, one thing I'm looking forward to is trying to bring on guests who are engaged in a number of different fields, whether we're talking about more traditional theologians, biblical scholars, missionaries, intercultural specialists, these kinds of people, but even say, pastors and practitioners and historians and other kinds of people who are maybe aware of the theological nature of the work that they're doing. And I think what I'm looking forward to is learning from these types of people who have maybe reflected on their context and seen how God is working and moving in different settings and situations to teach us something about who God is and how to, I guess we can say, speak to the people on the ground, or even just learn from the testimony of people on the ground of what God is doing. So I think I'm looking forward to inviting people on, whether we're talking about people locally in our own faculty, other friends in Singapore, or even around from around other parts of Asia who have these similar theological interests and are willing to highlight the voices that typically are not as well known as being theology. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Yeah. What about you, Benita?
I think Jean has something that she wants to add to
what. Oh, okay. Well, turn the mic over to Jean.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just going to state my interest. That is, I hope to host engaging, thought-provoking podcasts for us. And I think it is a podcast comes with it, a sharpening of minds. So if it's all we agree with this, we agree with that, and it turns into all yes, 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 then there's nothing that actually challenges us to nuance our stance. Mm-hmm. So my contribution, hopefully, would be to put paradoxes together, put two opposite sides together, and then see in that clash what kind of new solutions we might be able to come up with. And I think most hopefully we'll be able to articulate not just me versus you, but rather a both and maturity. And I hope that with the putting of diverse or sometimes even seemingly paradoxical, contradictory voices together, that there can be a whole lot more listening out to each other rather than just speaking over each other. So that's my hope.
Thank you, Jing. Benita, would you like to add anything else?
I think what I'm really looking forward to most is to just get to hear from people that I really would never meet or get to hear about from in my whole life. Yeah, and really just being able to just sit at their feet, you know, and hear what they have to share, what they have been through, and learning from them. I think there's just so much that we can learn from one another. I mean, just, you know, talking to the three of you here, I feel like my horizons are constantly being like challenged and broadened. And so, I think this is going to be really exciting and enriching, I hope, for whoever's also going to be listening in.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Benita. I think the four of us who are here, as much as we're doing this podcast, I think we'll be learning along with our audience from all the different topics and all the different speakers we hope we can invite to join us on this podcast. And so for those of you who are listening, I hope you're excited just as we are.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for that wonderful and engaging conversation. I'm sure that if we really wanted to keep talking, we could easily go on for another hour or more. But for the sake of time for today, we will be ending it here. There will be plenty of more conversations to come, and I'm sure some of the topics that we've talked about today, that we will be able to revisit them in future discussions. But I just want to thank everyone who might be listening for patiently listening to our banter for the last bit of time or so. And of course, thanks for those who are working behind the scenes to make all of this possible. We hope that all of you have a nice week and see you soon in the next episode. Goodbye and see you soon.
Goodbye. Zaijian.
Zaijian.
This has been Mosaic, a podcast by Singapore Bible College. Special thanks to Hilary Lim and Micah Singapore for giving us permission to use their music for our show. We would love to hear any feedback, suggestions, or comments that you might have, especially for future episodes. So feel free to contact us through our website at sbc.edu.sg. You can check out the website to discover more about our degree programs, events, and publications. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, leave a rating, or tell a friend. Thanks for listening.